The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
In your own bye, guys, it's all about being sensitive, having fun, and just really being yourself.
It's the bye, guys. The bye, guys. The bye, guys. The bye, guys.
Hey everybody, how you doing? It's your favorite podcast, Bye Guys with Zach and Ian. We are back in studio hanging out, having some fun. Thank you for digging the show. Thank you for coming out to shows. Thank you for just being a nice source of paused up energy. We dig it. It's nice. Zach, how you doing?
I just watched both of our guests get prison flashbacks.
Yeah, that was amazing to me to see two hardened criminals look at men kissing and then just go back to their Vietnam, which was probably Rikers or Sing Sing.
No, they were watching that go, man, how many bags of Fritos did that guy pay?
Oh, shit. Speaking of our guests, let's get into them, man. We got Gio Perez and Derek Dresser.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Hey, how are you? I love you guys. You're great. You go where goes one, there goes the other. I always see you together. I love seeing friendship. You guys are like the Bert and Ernie of comedy.
Wait, which one's the tall, skinny one?
Bert.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of.
I'm Bert and you're Ernie.
Yeah, I am a little stout like Ernie, I would imagine. Yeah.
Wow. Ambiguously gay. You know
yeah.
No, that's Bert. Bert.
No, not me.
They're Hispanic Bert and Ernie. Assault and battery.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Yo, there they are.
Yeah.
You got the eyebrows, too.
Yeah, I definitely got the eyebrows. I got the hair. The hair right now.
Yep. Do you got
the. Yeah, you definitely. If you take his, he got the
hat off. Yeah,
and he's got the nose too. He's got the.
That's there. It is. There it is. If you and I were a team, who would we be?
Somebody fat.
Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Like the logo. That's great. Yeah. I love that. Pinky and the Brain.
That could work. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Bine.
I'm glad we know who's who right away.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Rocco's
Modern Life.
We are Rocco and Heffer.
That's very
funny. That is great.
Those shows used to be fucking disgusting. That show,
Ren and Stimpy, is the greatest show of all time.
Like, they would show shit that, like, kids couldn't watch today.
Dude, there was a doctor in Rocco's Modern Life called Dr. Ben Dover. They always had these little things that you didn't notice.
One time somebody walks in and Rocco and Heffer are sitting there with monkeys and paddles.
they're spanking the monkeys.
All sorts of shit like that.
I love that.
Bravo.
That makes me want to rewatch it again.
Yeah.
That makes me say stuff like that.
I never saw that. I must have been in prison when Rocco and Heffer was out. I don't remember.
No, you were probably older because I was young at that time.
How old are you
probably
guys?
I'm 30. I'm about to be 36.
Yeah, I turned 41 in a couple weeks.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You look younger and you look older.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Why are you lying for? I think he mixed that up.
Nah. He said it right.
He was surprised when he said 40. He was like,
yeah,
oh,
I was
shit.
Like,
damn.
I'm just probably because I act younger, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Just for men, bro. Just
dude,
diet.
Rocco, what was his Sunday morning cartoons? It was Doug, Rugrats, Rocco's Modern Life, and what was like the fourth one?
Are Real Monsters?
Yes.
I think that was a little later. Dude, that was like around with Rocket Power.
Are Real Monsters. Wait, Rocket Power was after I was older for Rocket
but
Power.
But Doug and Rugrats has been around for
a
while.
Doug maybe?
What's that?
Hey Arnold, maybe?
Hey Arnold.
I don't remember. I wasn't like a Hey Arnold kid.
I auditioned for Arnold.
Nuh-uh.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's dope.
To be the voice.
When? Back then?
They replaced him like two or three times. I auditioned for the second round.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I used to do like voiceover shit when I was a kid.
Oh, that's great. I had no idea.
Yeah, I did a pilot for Nickelodeon and didn't get picked up.
No shit.
But I made it to like the second or third round to be Arnold, yeah.
You're like Tim Dillon, but with voices.
Yeah.
Zach Amico, child star.
I was on the poster for Nickelodeon Super Toy Run.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
That was
in like every Toys R Us.
Dude, I got tickets. Do you remember when they would do, what were those shows? It was like live show. Oh, what?
With the slime?
Yeah, but they would go to, they would, no. They would go to different town. What was that show?
Wild and Crazy Kids?
They had a black dude named Omar. Yeah. Wild and Crazy
Kids. Wild and Crazy
Kids. They did that live at the Spectrum in Philly, and I went. We got front row tickets, and they filmed it, and they would pick people from the crowd. So I wrote "pick me" on my forehead, but I did it in the mirror, so it was backwards. And I think they thought I was retarded because they picked me and were really like, "What we want you to do?" And they had me like run out with everyone. They're like, "We want you to go crazy," and I out crazy the crazy. And I truly think they thought I was, you know, touched by the hand of God. But I got picked. I was on it. It was great.
I love that Ian's interpreting. What's that show with the black guy named Omar?
Oh,
I was on The Wire. I was actually.
Yeah, no, look it up. Wild and Crazy Kids, Omar.
Crazy Kids.
I think that
was his
name.
He was in other shows too, right? He hosted something else.
Yes. I was almost going to say All That, but.
This is all. I remember All That.
Yeah.
I remember All That.
It was Keenan and Kel.
Roundhouse or some shit.
Roundhouse was before All That.
What was the one that used to come on where the kids would get slimed regularly? It was like the original.
Oh, Your Wet Dream?
No.
There he is. That's him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's fucking...
Omar Gooding. He's
Omar Gooding. I was right.
Omar Gooding.
That's Cuba's cousin?
Nuh-uh. Is it?
Yeah.
Cuban Gooding?
Are you thinking
that
of...
That might be his brother. That might be Cuba Gooding's brother.
Are you thinking of Family Double Dare?
No, it wasn't Double Dare. There was a show that would come on every night. I forget what it's called. I'll figure it out later.
I Dream a Genie?
You got slimed?
No, I didn't get slimed, but the kids would...
The show, I think the show was called You Got Slimed, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it wasn't called You Got Slimed.
I know Double Dare was the thing. And
Double Dare, yeah. Family Double Dare. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the show Welcome Freshman?
No.
That was like a 91 show. It was only on for a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a little before me. I'm thinking of Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
Hey Dude, the ranch.
Yeah. And
Hey Dude.
Camp Onawana.
Eat my shorts.
Salute my shorts.
Yes.
Your shorts.
Your shorts. That was the name of the show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What was the kid's name?
Donkey Lips.
Yeah, and the little guy, the mousy guy. That's us, too.
Yeah, that works, too.
I always wanted to be Butnick. He was cool.
Nick? Oh, the coach?
No. He was Ugg.
Yeah, oh, ugly.
The redhead kid.
Ugly.
Yeah, Butnick.
The friend from Terminator 2.
Yeah.
That lies to the cop.
Yep. Dude, oh my God.
We're going down memory lane.
What
now.
Flashbacks. Every Sunday, my grandfather would come over and bring like a Burger King breakfast to me and my mom, and we would spend the day watching Nickelodeon cartoons. It was really nice.
Yeah, I took my daughter to that Nickelodeon park in Jersey, that American Dream Mall. They have a whole theme park inside. And like they have a DreamWorks water park and then Nickelodeon theme park.
Dude,
you spent
time with your kids, bro?
Yeah, once in a while. It was her birthday. I had to.
Yeah, I have one.
Really? I like how he nodded no for a second.
Yeah,
oh,
I do.
Yeah.
I have one. Yeah.
He's like, technically, I do.
The question was, do you have kids? And the correct answer was no.
It was.
No.
Thank you, Zach.
I only have one.
Yes.
I have a single child.
Yes.
Derek's lawyer, Stimpy.
What are you doing this Sunday,
Your Honor?
This Sunday?
This Sunday. What are you doing?
Sleep until 2. That's what I'm doing.
Whatchamacallit? So a friend of mine worked at Nickelodeon in California, and I was out there a couple years ago, visited her, and she brought me around the office, and she was like, "You gotta turn your phone off. No phones allowed. Oh my God, in that office is the creator of Hey Arnold. He's kind of a dick, so just be really quiet in the office." I'm like, and right then my phone went off and we hear, "Whose phone is on?" And I was like, "Hee-hee." I just like ran out and she had to like smooth things over. Oh, it was so embarrassing.
Hey Arnold. What was Hey Arnold? Who the fuck was in that?
That was the football head kid. And then they had
The
Stoop kid. You remember Stoop kid?
Yeah, the kid with the big hair. And then Olga.
Olga was the
Pataki.
One.
Olga Pataki.
Yeah.
Olga Pataki. She was obsessed with Arnold. She had like a statue made out of his gum.
A couple... like,
oh yeah,
kids I like 2 years or a couple under me, that was like their show.
Arnold's the one with the blonde hair, right?
Yeah.
He looks very ambiguous.
Can I tell you? I think I never, look, it is what it is. I grew up in a very, you know, white area. I had one or two black friends in different schools, but never like was it like totally.
Do you have black friends? No, I have one.
And we didn't even like when I was younger, we go to each other's houses, but then you kind of splinter off and we were all cool and nice, whatever. But it blew my mind when I would find out that like black kids were into Hey Arnold or like anime or like kind of dorky stuff. Cause I always held them to the image of like being the coolest of the cool. Uh-oh. And I'm like being obsessed with cartoons. That was like my, it's like a dorky thing.
Yeah.
Like,
dorky white guys can be dorks? And cool black guys like anime, samurai swords.
Yeah. It was like, oh wow.
White kids like cartoons, just like poor kids. Cartoons.
Wow. Who knew? They're just like us.
I mean, we had Pokemon cards in the hood. Like, that was a thing when I was like 11
and
12.
And like Yu-Gi-Oh and shit.
Yeah.
Well, when I was teaching, my kids were like obsessed with Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah. And I'm like, huh.
You're a teacher? You
know, Pokemon.
I was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you teach? Like everything?
I was a full-time sub, and then I taught test prep for Kaplan. Why, did you used to teach?
No, fuck no.
Oh,
absolutely not. No. Oh.
And then now you can't be like, 200 yards within a school?
Got knocked down 100. Yeah, I don't know, man. What a good is does that exist right now? I feel like all the cartoons right now are this weird combination of like cartoon and like computer, whatever, which I takes away, I think, from like the.
Oh, the animation stuff? Yeah. The 3D animation?
Yeah. Like, what are the kid cartoon shows now?
I don't know.
Like the little kid shit I know just because my wife's
like
a preschool
Backyardigans or some
Coco
shit.
Melon?
Like that.
Yeah,
is
shit
the new
like that.
Popular
yeah.
One? Yeah.
Daniel Tiger.
Oh, Dora the Explorer?
Yeah.
Dora, my daughter loved Dora.
SpongeBob. SpongeBob was supposed to be an adult cartoon. It was supposed to be on Comedy Central.
SpongeBob.
Cartoon Network.
That's another thing that, like, everyone in the generation younger than us is obsessed with.
Yeah.
Those SpongeBob memes.
I never got it. But then I watched the movie and I'm like, oh, it's like little adult humor in it that goes over the kid's head.
Yeah. That's my favorite show to put on and take a nap to.
SpongeBob?
Like by the end of the episode, I'm asleep.
He has the best laugh.
That and the first 48.
The contrast.
That brings me peace too.
So wait, you mentioned being in jail. Do you guys mind going into that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't care.
Is that cool? How did you guys hook up as friends?
Through comedy.
Yeah.
Through comedy. Yeah. Okay.
Obviously, it was through an illegal comedy show during the pandemic.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Really? I was running an illegal show.
Outside of a gym that looked like a jail.
It was inside of the gym.
Called can we say the name?
Combody. Combody, yeah.
That's how I fit. Yeah, because like Karen, I think, did Combody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple times. Yeah.
Yeah, she used to have to be like, no, I can't. I got con body in the morning. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She used to come to class. She doesn't come anymore, yeah. Yeah, but
you still do that?
I still teach. So the gym, con body is a gym that only, it's a boutique fitness studio that only hires ex-cons.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, is it like jail workouts?
Yeah, so.
No shit.
It's designed as if you were like, because there's jail inside a jail. If you get in trouble in jail, they send you to the box, which is like you're not allowed to use weights. It's 23-hour lockdown.
Uh-huh. 23, so that's one-hour rec. That's why 23 and 1, we named the show 23 and 1, because it means solitary confinement. Yeah. 23 hours in a cell, 1 hour of rec.
No shit.
23 and 1.
Yeah. And you've been in the box?
Yeah, I've been in the box. I didn't make it that long, but I was in.
Wow,
I have a friend who did 7 years in the box.
Yeah, I know people that did multiple.
What?
Yeah,
that must be so psychologically damaging.
Yeah, they're fucked up.
Yeah,
it's mental abuse.
Yeah,
because they don't even you're not even allowed to buy extra food. You just get the 3 meals. So like your last meal will be like at 5 o'clock,
and that's
in the evening.
You're done.
And it's
7.
Like one. They don't got extras on the cart, so you just get like whatever. It's like child food. Like it's worse than school food. And then you have to wait till 5 in the next morning to eat.
Yeah.
So, like, after a while, you figure out, like, oh, if I take one thing from each plate
and save
it in
it,
a cup, and then I'll have a midnight snack.
I have a snacky.
Yeah.
A little snack.
Yeah, it's insane.
Are you allowed to read in
there? Yeah, the Bible.
Read.
Nuh-uh.
I think it's the Bible in one book.
No,
yeah,
right?
I don't remember. Yeah, they take all your
whatever
property.
whatever your religious belief is, and then maybe one other book.
No books, no magazines,
I would convert. So I could read more.
To Islam? Every month.
Like, yeah. I'd be like, nah, I'm Islam. I'm Muslim now.
Yeah.
I read the Bible a little bit.
So wait, they only give you the Bible in one book. You can't... Do they give you pen and paper?
Yeah, you could get. You could write a letter. Yeah, you
not
could,
where we was at. Oh, no. You get two pieces of paper and one envelope and one pencil.
Yeah.
In the box.
If you're indigent, you get one envelope, I think.
Indigent? Oh,
yeah.
That?
Indigent means you're poor as fuck. In the joint, and you can't afford a stamp.
Yeah,
that's basically what it means. Yeah, yeah.
And you're in there for 23 hours. What do you do with your time?
You listen to people rap,
argue with people.
Everybody raps
debate.
Now.
Oh, the rap. You have some rap.
It fucking drives me nuts.
So you're all next to each other.
Yeah. There'll be like 20 people side to side.
Yeah, and they're all yelling.
You threaten people you'll never see. Yeah. You're like, yo, you suck my dick.
Yeah.
Sell C2, suck my dick. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Just so you have something to do.
Yeah.
The first half of the day, everybody's sleeping. It's just silent.
Shoot
like
semen
two in
on the
evening,
COs.
And then everybody just
jack off in your hand and then stick it into a tooth paste bottle and go.
Nah.
Yeah. Shoot, you got to be a shooter.
Just to get something to do.
Yeah.
That is.
We just roast people back and forth. Just people roasting each other.
Right. I hate to beat people, man. They start early. They're like. It'll drive you nuts. It'll drive you nuts. Yeah. To hear people scream like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The madness never ends. Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. They've been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. So you can stop talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never have what you need, and after all that, are still going to upcharge you. What a bunch of jerks. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. So whether you are a mechanic, somebody working on their own car, or an absolute idiot like me who doesn't understand how cars work, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing. So head on over to the site, check it out, and if you do get anything, make sure to tell them you heard about them on the Buy Guys podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and check it out, rockauto.com. Let's get back into the show.
There was one. I saw one guy. There was like this old white guy. He had like, you could tell he had brain surgery because he had like a big scar across his head. But he was a little slow. Uh-huh. He was a big fucking dude. They tortured that guy because he was the only white guy there.
Yeah.
And then they pushed him to the point one day he yelled out the N-word.
Ha.
And that's, I feel like that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
Because everybody, after that, like, they started laughing. Yeah. Everybody, they celebrated it.
Yep. Oh,
and then
great.
They starved him for a couple days.
What do you mean they starved him?
They didn't give him a meal.
Yeah.
The inmates, COs.
No,
the black dudes
the
running the chow.
Yeah. The guys, like, that's happened a lot. That happened a lot with the adolescents. Like, when I was with the minor, with the young.
When you were a kid.
Yeah. When I was, like, 16. Like, if they didn't like you, if you didn't fight for it, they wouldn't give you your meal.
Yeah, the prison guards let that happen.
Well, you can't snitch.
You can't snitch. They're like, oh,
then
they're not
really
feeding on.
Then you're really fucked.
Because then you're going
to
beat
up. But what if you go, I'm not going to say any names, but I just want to say I'm not being fed.
I just want to say I haven't eaten in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's not your guys' fault. So I'm saying you guys been sending the food. I just haven't been getting it.
Dude, if they stopped feeding you for saying the N-word, I would be fucking 105 pounds in prison.
Zach would come out looking like me.
Right?
With wings.
Yeah, what was your workout plan?
Well, I said the N-word more than Rogan.
Yeah, Zach would run a program called N-Body.
I call it the Rogan Experience.
Oh, shit. That's
you say
great.
The N-word 56 times in a day, and you
won't. 57 if I stub my toe.
Go ahead.
I remember there was a lockdown I was on in Rikers. So
how long were you in Rikers?
I mean, Rikers, that's the jail for the city. So that's where you go before
it's
you either jail. you're either like you you do time if it's less than a year, and if you're doing more time, then you go upstate.
Yeah.
So how and when you're in Rikers, you want to go upstate because it's such
Rikers
a shithole.
Yeah, Rikers is a nightmare. Yeah. So how long were you in Rikers?
I've been in there a bunch of different. Sometimes I'm there for a night. Sometimes I'm there for 6 months. Sometimes, you know, depending on how the case goes.
And that's complete, like, welcome to the jungle. Yeah. Like straight up warfare.
Yeah. Yeah. Turn that music on. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's that. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's one of the most disgusting
inhumane
places. Inhumane.
Because the guards.
All those pictures are real. Yeah. You see the picture, like I don't know how the fuck they got that picture of everybody just laying down on each other in the bullpen.
Yeah. Ugh. God. That's how it is. Yeah. I mean, but like the worst thing about Rikers is the guards are corrupt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most of them live in the city.
A
they
lot
don't
of them
make that
gangs.
Much money.
A lot of them,
a
are
lot
in
of them
gangs.
In gangs yep. or they came from neighborhoods where there was a lot of gangs. So it's easy to get stuff like drugs, cigarettes,
dude,
scalpels, razors.
I was outside the cellar one night, and there's, you know, always these little kids like, buy this candy, buy this candy. And the mom is just like yelling at them. And one of the bouncers was like, get the fuck out of here, like the mom, and was like, kick, run, run. And the kid was like cussing at everyone and was like, you white, blah, blah. And someone was like, you know, you need to treat them better, blah, blah. And the bouncer was like, no, they're already gone. Yeah. Like, there's no
bringing them back.
There's no bringing them back. Yeah. They're probably going to turn into COs and just be corrupt.
Yep.
And that's what he said. I was like, oh my God. He's like, yeah, these kids go to like a diversion program. When they go to jail, they have an option of turning into a CO.
Yeah. Which is horrible.
Yeah.
Which is so, I used to go talk at a diversion program. These kids were, they were animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'd be like, if they fucking made a move on me right now, I'm done.
Yeah.
These little fucks. They're fucking, they're ruthless.
Dude. And that's the thing too, is like truly the teens and kids running around, no matter what they, and we're all adults, we know context. They are complete savage animals.
Yes, absolutely.
Because there is no consequence, because when they get in trouble, they get kicked up to family court.
Yeah.
And then family court delineates what happens. They know it's going to go away. They know there's no consequence.
Right.
So then they just fucking can do whatever they want. There's no discipline in the home. And, dude, my friend, my dear friend is a prosecutor. And she told
really
me.
Really thought you were gonna say prostitute.
I was like, oh.
No, my dear same friend thing. is a prosecuting attorney. She said that when teens get caught with guns, they kick it over to their girlfriend because the girlfriend usually hasn't done any time.
Yep.
So then the girlfriend takes a bid, and then the guy gets like doesn't go away because he's already got priors.
Yeah. Where's your friend, a prosecutor, New York or Philly?
Outside of Philly.
Outside of Philly?
Yeah. I mean, Delaware.
Oh.
The Philly is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And also New York with the bail reform.
Oh.
This guy just slashed a guy in the face, and the day prior, the
kid
the
from
cops,
Queens you're talking about, right?
He was waving a knife around in front of the cops. The cops locked him up because of bail reform. He got out. Next day, he slashed someone on the face on the train. This is legitimately a massive issue.
Yeah, at least don't give him his knife back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same knife.
You gonna not do it again? You promise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I stabbed somebody once, and they gave me the knife back.
What, outside or inside?
This was outside. Yeah. This was in Suffolk.
They gave you the knife? I fought with the cops to get a knife back for years.
They asked me, they were like, is this the knife you stabbed them with? I was like, nah.
Oh, wait, when you got out of lockup and you got your bag.
No. I meant, like, the kid didn't press charges.
Right.
So they let me out of the precinct.
Uh-huh.
Like, the cops came because the mother called the cops.
Uh-huh.
And they came and got me. And then while I was in there, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is an assault with a deadly weapon. I'm going to do some time. And he didn't want to press charges.
Mm-hmm.
So all they made me do was, like, sign a statement. He's like, the cops, like, write everything that happened. Said you went over there, you fought him, blah, 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 and we'll let you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not fucking stupid. So all I did was, he's like, oh, and you're going to leave the guy alone. All I wrote was, my name is Gio Perez, and I will leave Ricky alone. That's all I wrote. I'm not going to sit and write
what
I did.
Right, bravo.
And then
I
when they were
him
leaving
repeatedly about the chest and gut.
No, it was the shoulder and the hand. And when they handed, this is the best part. When they gave me back, he's like, is this the knife you stabbed me? I was like, nah, man, I grabbed the knife. I had grabbed that knife after when I thought they were going to come back. And then, and then when I got home, this is my two favorite parts.
Dominicans in their knives.
I wiped the knife. The knife was, there was still blood on the knife. The cop, all he had to do was go like this and see that there was blood on it. And then I was taking papers that I had in my pocket, and I had an eighth of Coke bagged up in little baggies. And that's a felony. If they would have saw that bat, I would have stayed in the precinct.
Yeah.
But they didn't search me that well. Because it was like homicide detectives that took
right.
me. If it was drug cops, they would have fucking went through all my key pockets.
What are they fucking like union on a TV set? Like, yeah, that's no, not
homicide
my job.
Detectives, yeah. if they roll up on you and they see drugs, they don't they care. Don't they care want about guns. Drugs. They yeah. want guns.
But
that's
I had papers folded up like this in my pocket. It right. was like in between.
Dude, the crazy thing is, like, they tried to make you basically sign a confession under yeah. the guise of, like, just say what you did and then we'll, yeah. you know, whatever. Like, so if you get locked up for a crime, and then, you know, it goes to court, whatever, you're in remand, they will give you options of like, okay, you plead guilty, it's on your record,
right?
But you're done with this whole process,
right. yes.
$75 court fee, yeah. and you get to go.
Right.
Or you're on conditional release for a year, you got to be behaved. You know, it's $300-some, maybe some court fees. You know, it's a year, yeah, and then it goes away.
Yeah.
So probation, people just go. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Here, I. Well, what and, that then, does, and then it's on their record. It's yeah. cheaper, but then they're gonna get locked up
yeah,
again,
all that
and
does
they
is,
got a fucking felony.
Yeah.
On
it, it makes you like you a become oil for yeah for yeah. the yeah. machines. To
I
burn,
probation
100%.
like I
never ever completed yeah. probation or parole yeah. ever.
I did it for 6 months.
Dude, probation's evil.
Yeah. It is. It's a trap.
Long term probation
or parole.
Is evil. Parole.
Yeah. Parole yeah, and yeah. probation both. It's a trap.
Yeah,
it's a trap. I like. Obviously, this sounds crazy, but like I would take jail time before I take probation.
Absolutely.
Every time. After I did probation when I was 16, I lasted 6 months. After that, every time they were like, oh, we got probation at the time, I was like, give me the time. Mm. I was like, I'll go in, I'll be home within a year, and I'll be done. But this whole reporting twice a month,
yeah.
pissed,
the last
curfew,
time I was on paper, they wouldn't let me work. And I was like, listen, I got a kid. I have like, and they're like, no. And I started going, I got a job anyway, and I just stopped reporting.
Yeah.
And I already knew, I was like, I can't make it like this. Yeah. Like it's, and when I had to, when I went to the hearing, they were like, what do you want to do, Mr. Drescher? I was like, send me back.
Mm.
Let me max out my time. So when I come out, I don't got to deal with parole. And they were like flabbergasted that that's what I wanted yeah. to do. They were like, you want to go back? I was like, yeah, just send me back. Because yeah. I was like, I can't live a life like this. Yeah. I'm going to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're also scared because if you catch another charge, it's even worse.
Yeah.
If you actually, you know what I mean? Something happens. And then like, if we were both on parole, we would violate.
Yeah, you can't be around each other.
Yeah, you can't be around each
really?
Other.
Really?
For no yeah. reason at all.
What do they call that?
Fraternizing.
Fraternizing, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep oh my God!
So no Bert and Ernie.
Yeah,
on parole.
No 23-1. No on the gate.
Yeah, none of that shit.
Dude, I mean, it is absolutely a system set up for failure mm-hmm. to destroy people's lives, and the bail reform that is going on in these liberal cities, George Soros funded.
Yeah,
let's get into it.
Let's talk about it.
Fucking insanity. Yeah. And it is leading to just...
What a lot of people don't realize, bail reform, right? If you get 5 possession of, like, narcotics charges, right. and they just keep RORing you...
Mm-hmm. What's ROR?
Release on your own recognizance.
The sound a lion makes.
No, it's called release all rats.
Yeah.
Release on ratting.
So
rats on release.
But after 4 or 5 of those, you're doing time now. You're not going to jail for your trial and, mm-hmm. and court, but now you got time. Now you're looking at time, so... Mm-hmm. That's bail reform.
Yeah. Yeah. But also that you got to realize jail is just modern day slavery. You know yeah. what I mean? It's a business just like anything else.
Right.
Like if you look at the county jail where I was at, right? The inmates cook all the food for the inmates. Mm-hmm. The inmates clean the jail. The inmates
That's
do
nice.
The laundry. The mm-hmm. inmates do all the outside work. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to hire anybody. They hire one person that watches all the
Do
inmates
you know
work.
Who runs the phones for the DMV in New York State?
The inmates.
Yeah. The inmates. If
they
you
make
call
jeans,
the DMV.
Yeah.
You're talking to someone who's incarcerated in New York City for the New York State.
And guess how much they get paid?
How much?
Fucking cents.
Yeah.
30 cents.
Is it 7 bucks a week
hour,
or some shit
yeah.
like that? 14?
Yeah.
I forget.
Basically,
do you know
nothing.
Who trains all the service dogs in New York?
Inmates.
The inmates.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
It's,
really?
It's literally modern day slavery. They're working.
I will push back. Is dealing with pets not a good form
of therapy
great.
No, that's
for
great.
The prisoners?
Yeah,
you got to be
amazing.
A model prisoner to get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, 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 they won't just give it to anybody. Yeah.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. They didn't get like the
See,
son of Sam's Sam. They're
good.
Not going to give him
But even then, even that is like horrible because they bond with this creature and then they're like, it's ready,
oh,
bring another
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, shit.
What's the best job to have?
That would that be the best. Yeah, there can't be no better job than that, I would imagine.
Unless it's like outside detail, though.
But dude, If you're training a dog, you're basically in a minimum in a camp somewhere. So they have flowers and gardens and shit. You know what I mean?
Is there reform in the prison system?
Not New York.
Right.
Not New York.
I don't even think in this country.
In Jersey. Right. In Jersey, they're really heavily based on reform. There are a lot of programs. Mm-hmm. Just to get into a reform program while you're incarcerated is a pain in the ass.
How so?
It's just because there's 63 prisons and like one program. Mm-hmm. There's what do they call that? Exodus.
Why is there not reform to make these people
because
citizens.
Then the money stops.
Yeah.
The money
and the jail's
stops.
Empty.
It's all about the money.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. they want the revolving
money,
doors.
Power, respect. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Thank you, Lox.
shout out to Lil Kim.
Yeah, and DMX. He
they were all out. Incarcerated. I think all the
incarcerated.
Incarcerated.
How did you guys get out of the cycle? Like, I mean, how many times have you guys been in prison?
I left New York.
I mean, I've been arrested over 30 times.
For what? Yeah, no, you don't have to go into it. Yeah. I don't. No, no, I didn't ask that. It's
never no sex stuff. Never, yeah. But yeah, just...
Drugs.
The older I got, I got more into drugs. When I was younger, it was assaults and
you sober
deaths.
Now?
And yeah, yeah, I have 8 years, August 28th.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I was bad on the heroin at the end, which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't do heroin until I was 30. Which
you saved it.
Yeah, yeah, saved it to the end.
It's the Yeti monster. Yeah.
Did you do heroin?
I'm sober. I was an alcohol.
Alcohol. Yeah, alcohol's bad, too.
Yeah.
I used to remember all the alcoholic old dudes that came into the joint. They would order candy bars because it helps with
the withdrawal, the seizures.
Yeah, because your body processes alcohol into sugar.
That's right.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm sober, I'm like, does anybody have some fucking gummy bears?
Yeah, that's why candies are like huge
and coffee.
When you're sober. Always, always pockets full of candy. And yeah.
The alcoholics in jail, they go crazy over the coffee. That's the
nuts.
One thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is they
I
love.
Mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You need to feel something from a liquid.
So how did you break out of this? And why do you think so many people do not?
So basically what ended up happening due to me being in that vicious cycle of being mm-hmm. incarcerated, I went from somebody who like sold drugs and stole to make money to somebody who did drugs and stole to do drugs. Yeah, right. So that's what happened to me. And then I can't even say like I had a super big moment of clarity while I was using. I overdosed twice. The second time was really bad from what I understand. I don't remember mm-hmm. because I was not alive, but they brought me back to life. And I knew when they brought me back that day because the nurse came in afterwards and she's like, I just want to let you know that you're the only person we saved this week because there was like a bad batch going around. Mm-hmm. There was fentanyl actually back then too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn. And then they were like, we're going to get you to a program tonight. And I was like, nah, you don't got to do that. I'm leaving. And the doctor was like, you know, most people, when we bring them back to life, they like, you know, will start saying bad things and mean things to us. And he was like, because my brother was the one who dragged me in there. And when they brought me back, my brother was like, do you want me to call mom and dad? I was like, no. He's like, do you want me to call Adrian, which is my daughter's mother? And I was like, nah, I don't want anybody to see me like this. Mm. And he was like, you know, you seem like a good dude. And I was like, when I left that day, I used to not get sick, but it wasn't like with the same ferociousness as before.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I like your haircut, Poppy. Ladies and gentlemen, Father's Day is just around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure your dad, your uncle, your grandpa, all the wonderful men in your life have the nicest nether regions possible. Treat him, treat yourself. I got to be honest with you guys. Manscaped just rules. They have the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is absolutely incredible. The battery life lasts forever. It's got an LED light on it. It works in the shower. This thing is incredible. They also have the weed whacker for your ear and nose hair. And they have some creams, some crop revival stuff. It is absolutely the best. I cannot stress enough how much I actually like the Manscaped product. So check it out. I think you're going to absolutely love it. Give your loved ones the gift of the nicest balls in the world, and you can get 20% off and free shipping with our code BYGUYS, B-I-G-U-Y-S, at manscaped.com. That's right. The code is B-I-G-U-Y-S, BYGUYS, at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. Guys, have some nice balls for the person you love, or give the person you love some nice balls. Let's get back into the show.
I was going to this like fucking this program, and the lady that ran it was like, "You're gonna die. Mm. I can't help you anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna send you to this program. Will you go?" Mm-hmm. And I went, and it was a therapeutic community, which they don't even have programs like this anymore, where they like tear you down and build you back up. Mm.
A boot camp.
And, yeah.
And what year was this?
This was 2014. Mm. Yeah, 2014. So I remember walking in, and they're like, "All right, you know, you got to call everybody family." They're like, "I introduce yourself to the family." I'm like, "Hello, family. My name is Derek." They're like, "How do you feel about being here?" I'm like, "I'm very happy to be here and get my life back." And then someone just goes, "Shut up." And I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "You're a piece of shit. Nobody wants you. Your family doesn't." I was like, "What the fuck is..."
Derek fell in love after that.
What?
Yeah, that's how they talk to you. That's how they
talk
to you.
So then how do they build you back up from there?
And they tell you, "All right, leave." They're like, "Go ahead, leave." Because I also was facing time.
Right.
So this is a diversion also. Yeah. They're like, "Well, the cops will be out front to get you."
Right.
Yeah. And it was like, I didn't want to go back to jail anymore.
Yeah.
And I just stayed. And then you group about 5-6 times a day. You're just grouping. Like, and
it's pronounced groping.
When you share, like, you, they're like, "All right, you know, let it all out." They call it
and then they call you a fag.
Yeah. They
really
will. They'll call you faggot. They'll be like, "You definitely engaged in homosexual activity
while on drugs."
So what?
I'll be like, "Yeah, I'd be out there robbing people." Like, "Nah, you were sucking dick.
You were robbing them a semen.
You was robbing their semen."
Yeah. I mean, that's how they would talk to you. And then you would give like your testimony. What would you would testify to your peers, and then they would judge you at the end. They would grade you. They'd be like, "Nah, he's full of shit." So you like really work hard in this testimony, right? And you share it, and then they're just like, "Nah."
And then when no do good. They go, "Yeah, fam"?
When you leave,
different for everybody. And bro, the best part of that it became exciting to me. Every Sunday we would have something called a encounter group, confrontation group, to where it's like we could all just be hanging out, and I could do something you don't like, and then you would be like, you'd be like, "Derek spilled coffee on the floor and didn't mm-hmm. clean it up. He's, you know, this can make roaches come. He's mm-hmm. horrible for the house. Not a good person.
Snitch session.
And you put it in the box." Mm-hmm. So then everybody goes and sits in a circle, and whoever's running the house, the social worker for the day, would pull the slips out.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, "All right, Ian Fidance, Derek Drescher, center." And then you sit and face each other. And then if I didn't drop a slip on you, I just have to listen to what you say. I cannot talk at all.
Right.
So and they call that holding your belly.
Right.
And what this does, basically, a lot of people think it's archaic, and they don't do it anymore. It's done, this type of treatment. You can't find a place, in New York at least, is it prepares you for life on life's terms.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because people are going to say things to you that you don't like. Things are going to happen at work that you don't like. Shit's just going to happen in life regularly that you don't like, and you got to fucking deal with it if you want to stay free and not do drugs. So that's basically what it did. But I had some fun times. The things that were said to me that, and I didn't react, definitely made me like, that's like a big part of what being clean is about, like life on life's terms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
not on my time, constant. Yeah. And I wonder though, like, if people are okay, so that prepared you to hold your belly and deal with people and say, I can't respond, I can't go to anger. What about the people that are like dressing you down? What's that prepare them for? Like, did you get to dress people down?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. After you're there, you go. You,
but there's no
four
like
phases.
I did it because I love you. Like, none of that. Like, I need tough love, but at the end, I need it to be like,
well, and that would be
I
like,
love you, man.
Yeah. Us eat, like, we'd eat with each other, and then we'd have a morning and an evening group where, like, the morning we'd prepare ourselves, and in the evening we would decompress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So part of it is very toxic. It's not for everybody, but I needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I needed somebody to tell me I was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I need somebody to be like, you got to really take a look at why, like, you can't be around your child.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You got to take a look at why, like, your family is scared to have you around. You got to, why have you been arrested 30 times? Because you're a piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, because when you're, like, really caught up in the drugs, like, it's everybody else. It's never you.
Yeah. Oh,
you
point
your fingers at everybody.
Those are people that stay in that cycle.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like 45 in jail blaming their family for their problems. Yeah. I'm like, nah, after a certain age, you got to take your own responsibility. Mm-hmm. You can only blame your parents for so many
That's what bothered me about the disease concept of addiction, because a lot of people would use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
I have a disease. Yeah. I robbed you because of my disease. Yeah. I was a piece of shit son because of my disease. And I'm very much of the mind of personal accountability. Like, the disease aspect is, I have an allergic reaction to alcohol, but a mind that tells me I don't.
Right.
My disease centers itself in influence of negative behaviors that are my choice, but the disease makes me think it's a good idea, and I have the choice to go, I'm doing this or I'm not.
Yeah.
But to use that as an excuse, I think, is a way to stay stuck in that cycle of using. And you have to say, like, no, I made these decisions. And the disease of alcoholism for me is, once I start, I don't care about the consequences of those decisions. I don't stop.
When you say allergic to alcohol, do you mean like Asians, or like it just makes you a jerk?
Well, hey, man, every time I drink, I break out in handcuffs.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I do karaoke. But
I break out into dance.
I break out into suits. I do karaoke. No.
When I had a year clean, I got picked up on an old warrant. So I went back into
the system.
That's
happened to me.
Yeah.
But I never did your stuff.
Yeah.
I was just in, you know, the tombs for a night.
So they were telling me, they're like, I get picked up. They're like, and then I didn't have much money. They were like, take it. We'll give you a year.
Mm-hmm.
You do a year. And I was like, I already have over a year clean. I'm like, this is going to fuck up everything. And I actually didn't really do what they said I did. And I remember I had a legal aid. She was like, listen, you've done a year so many times, just do it again. And I was like, I can't. I was like, I can't. I was like, if I blow trial, if I take it to trial and I blow trials, I was like, do you think I'll do, it was like a year and a third to four or something like that. She's like, yeah, you might. And I was like, tell the DA. I said, no deal. And then they fucking called, and then they were like, they ROR'd me.
What's that?
So they released me. So that means they didn't have enough evidence for the felony that they were trying to get. And then I just had to go to court for the misdemeanor. But when I was incarcerated at that time, it was only for a few weeks. I was like, I can't handle this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore.
Can't handle it in the sense that it's going to make you use, or can't handle it in the sense that you're going to lose your mind?
But yeah, a little bit of both. Because everybody who had, there was pills in there and everything. I'm like, you know, and the old timers used to talk about, like, you know, going to prison sober. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And now I understood what they were talking about. But yeah, that I haven't turned back since.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I got in. We almost went to jail like a month ago. But
I'm not going to ask for one.
It was just a fight in front of a comedy block, a very popular creepy comedy. It was in West Forth, around West Forth. This crazy guy started fucking with us.
Oh, yeah. Out by the pear?
Around there. And this guy was just like, he spit at one of us. He pulled out pepper spray.
Yeah.
And then
he called me a faggot.
Yeah, he called me. He was just going off. He didn't like that we were trying to sell tickets out there.
Right.
And he was just fucking out of his mind.
Yeah.
And then
you'll get that in that neighborhood.
Yeah. I did that for years.
Yeah.
That area is a fucking nightmare, dude.
But this guy didn't stop. He was harassing the girls that were with us. He was going in. And then at the final moment, he's like, yeah, you fucking pussy. And I'm like, yo, just ignore him. He's not talking to you.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you in the fucking gray hoodie and the blue bucket. And then Derek is like, and he just fucking runs at him. And I'm like running behind him. And I'm like, all right, I'm either going to stop him if I get there in time, or I'm going to end up
joining in.
All depends if I could get there in time. But by, like, in a split second, I see Derek doing a kickflip, like a skateboard trick. Like, he just kickflipped up in the air and double kicks the guy. They both fall down. I was like, I didn't know this old guy can get up there, man.
Oh, my God. What are you, Johnny Cage?
He did the Johnny Cage fucking sideways kick. They both fall to the floor, and the guy gets up quick and gets on top of him.
Wow.
And then before he can even, like, like do anything. I just jumped on, just started swinging behind him, hitting him.
Gio's like, bing, bing.
Yeah,
bing, bing.
I was just like, yeah, I took out some aggression that day. Yeah, man. That was therapy. That was real therapy.
What about all the beta cut comics that were like,
oh, they tried. They one, a couple of them tried to hold me back.
Yeah, some people tried to jump in. One that got spit at too. The one comic got spit at. He was trying to break it up.
I was like, bro, he spit at you.
Dude, that's so funny because I know some comics that have been like assaulted on the train or the tracks or out on the street, and they're all like, that guy's been through a lot. It wouldn't be good for me to, you know, get him in trouble.
Be his punching bag.
Yeah. And I'm like, stabbed. Are you a fucking loser?
It's his childhood.
I'm fucking officer. Yeah. Officer.
No, I'm fucking somebody up. I don't want to. But you got these it's crazy out there.
Honestly, I get PTSD now when stuff like that happens because like the last two fights I got into, I ended up in handcuffs, and the second time I ended up doing 2 years.
Oh my god.
And then because it goes bad either way. My mind is either they're gonna pull something out and hurt me, or like they're getting the best of me and I use something and hurt them, and then like I'm back in jail and I already have an assault charge, assault with a deadly weapon. The deadly weapon was a snowball. I always had to add that. It was fucking some freak accident. But it was like stupid. But like if I get an assault again using a weapon, it could be like a bat, a knife, anything. I'm doing a minimum of 7 years. That's my first offer.
Jesus.
You'll have so much material when you come out.
It's worth it. Like these fucking comics illegal? Are like, my dad died, but I got a good 5 minutes. Like, you mentally ill fucking loser. Dude,
I'm going to cry this Sunday, but it's okay. I'm going to go to open mic and work on these jokes.
The best part about this fight, though, is I turn around at one point and Gio's holding a cinder block.
Well, because he pulled out the pepper spray. I'm like, oh,
I was
fuck
like, yo,
that.
Where the fuck did you get that?
That's he's a friend. Like,
that's what a fucking friend. Retarded rock, paper, scissors logic?
pepper spray.
Yeah. Cinder block. Yeah. You pulled scissor. I pulled cinder block. Dude,
the guy had his keys. He had his
half
keys
a brick.
In no, his, and he was like, oh, you got
it.
Because
it was a pepper spray. It was a pepper spray on the keychain.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the cinder. No, he was reaching it. He pulled it out earlier. And he kept reaching in his pocket. And I saw half a brick right on the side, and I just picked it up, and I was like, keep reaching in your
like
fucking
this.
Pockets. Keep reaching in your... I wasn't
was
holding
about
it like
the
that.
Catapult.
It was a
little
brick. Are you
going to shot put it?
I was just going to fucking crack Jackie him over the Joyner head one Kersey. Time. Just put it by my neck.
Dude, this podcast is turning to the drill rap podcast.
Yo raps.
Yeah, this is great. Oh, fuck, man. How does it go from getting arrested and like spending a night in the tombs or whatever to like getting kicked up to Rikers? Like, how does that happen?
Well, it depends on the crime.
Yeah, it's always a crime.
It's a crime.
Man.
Those are different.
Violation, light, like possession, misdemeanor, that'll keep you in the tombs. But if you're talking assault or
it's a felony, you're staying in there. It's usually going to be a bail that's over like $5,000, $10,000, depending.
But if it's $10,000, isn't that $100? Cash?
No, well, if $10,000 is 10,000,
10% that'd be for a bond. You give $1,000 to a bondsman.
Yeah, you put up something that's worth $100,000, and you got to put up 10% that you don't get back.
Yeah,
that's the
that
bond.
Just for that goes to the bondsman.
And then they hold on to whatever property, house, or car until you go to your first court date, and then they make sure that you get sentenced and all that. And then,
my grandfather had to put his house up to bail his brother out.
Oh, that's great.
For like stalking.
Really?
Jesus Christ. My great uncle Lewis was a creep.
Who was he stalking? A fucking like politician?
I hope it was a famous person.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Nah, he was kind of like a star fucker. Like, do you guys remember that the John DuPont story? They made that movie Foxcatcher.
Yeah,
that happened in Delaware. And my great uncle Lewis was friends with DuPont. And the day that he killed the guy, my uncle was, they used to have breakfast on Sundays. And my uncle was there, like, in the driveway when it happened. And so he immediately was, like, trying to talk to the media, you know, like, oh, look at me, you know, just so he could, like, get in the paper or whatever.
DuPont's
friend. Yeah, he was, oh, my God. My grandfather had a barbershop called The Long and Short of It. That's where I get my puns from. And it was, like, you know, just a regular barbershop in the city. And, you know, my grandfather's this wholesome guy. He's walking around town. Everyone called him Poppy. That's what we called him, you know. Hey, Poppy. Hey, Dan, how you doing? He was, like, a man about town. A little mayor of Wilmington. And then my uncle, great uncle Lewis, had a barbershop called the Gentleman's Club. And that was where all the gamblers and like the degenerates went. And he had like penthouse playboys on the thing. Like that was like they used to gamble in the back. My great uncle Lewis got
ask
held.
Ask the three of us right now which one we want to go to.
The long and the short of it.
The long and short of it, man.
Oh, dude, I used to go there.
I'm going to the gentleman's club.
Yeah, I
the
used to go there and be like,
funny if it was called the long and the short of it.
I used to go to my Bobby's barbershop. I'd be like a little sweeper. It was so fun, and then I was never allowed in the gentleman's club. But my great uncle Lewis, when they were building the Delaware Memorial Bridge, he got held over the bridge by his ankles. Because he owed some people some money.
Like Vanilla Ice and
Shug
Knight stuff.
After that, he was the best, earliest money giver backer.
Became very charitable.
Yeah.
Something about dying almost makes people charitable.
Yeah. But like, dude, great Uncle Lewis, he fucking, he would dye his hair. He would lie about his age to get like younger girls.
Nice.
He had this girl. Dude, he had this girl. He took her to Italy. And she left because when they were doing custom, she saw his birthday. It was like, you're 82? Yeah. She fucking got a flight back to America. Great Uncle Lewis ruled.
So your grandfather put the house up for him to come out?
Yeah.
I would too, man. Lewis sounds like a great guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that man in jail.
Yeah.
Hey there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in a state where Delta 8 is legal. I want to get high with you. I hope you want to get high with me, because we can go to yodelta.com and stock up on high-quality, lab-tested Delta 8. They sent me vapes. They sent me gummies. Whoa, boy, do they work. So if you are over the age of 21 and you live in one of the majority of states where Delta 8 is legal, head on over. You guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp. It can be legally shipped, and it gets you high. I will tell you from personal experiences, Delta 8 works and should be taken responsibly. So head on over to yodelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. And if you use our promo code GAS, you're going to get 25% off. One more time, guys, that's promo code GAS for 25% off at yodelta.com. The home of the Delta 8 that'll get you super high. Let's get back into our program, huh?
My family never had anything to put up for me to bail me out.
No, my family had it. They just said, no, fuck you. Yeah. You're going to run. You're going to do something stupid. We're going to lose the house. Yeah. Like, we didn't fucking work this hard. Like, we came from like dirt poor Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Worked hard. And they
to
were
dirt
like,
poor Long Island.
To dirt poor Long Island.
Are you from Long Island?
I'm originally from Yonkers, but I moved out there as a teen.
Right,
so I'm
right.
more Long Island than, right. than anything. Yeah.
Everybody was always happy when I was locked up because they were like, oh, at least we know where you are.
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean?
I
hated when my mom said that shit. She's like, you know, but at least I'm not That's worrying so that you're out and da da da. And I'm
Isn't
like, fuck crazy? You.
I'm like, it's I'm surrounded true. By animals.
Yeah. What I'm like, it's dangerous in here, mom.
Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went from like the hood to the suburbs. And my mom thought that it would be a great idea, but like, I turned 18 when the heroin fucking epidemic and the pill, like the pills and
right.
heroin
the
just fucking
epidemic, yeah.
wiped everybody. Like I have so many friends that died.
Yeah.
It's just like almost like every 6 months there's somebody on Facebook, oh, rest in
right,
peace.
Right, right.
And I knew off the bat. I'm like, oh, that's
right. I think I might, out of everybody that was affected by the opiate epidemic, out of people I was coming up with, there's me and one guy left. He's in prison.
Well, that's what they do when you're in rehab. They go, look to your left, look to your right.
Yeah.
One of you will be dead within X amount of years.
Yep.
Is it going to be you? Are you going to make the change?
It's so true.
Like, yeah. Oh, God.
I wouldn't do good in rehabs because I'm like, you could easily just die by getting hit by a car. Don't fucking put that bad luck
on
me.
Yeah, I know, but see, that's that attitude of indifference. Yeah.
That's why I still smoke weed. Yeah. That's why I'm not completely sober. Because I don't know. It's fucked up, but like the whole, especially like with rehab, like I did rehab a few times and it didn't work for me because like I didn't quit until I was like, yo, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah.
Like I was in rehab because other people wanted me there or a judge
wanted
me there.
Prayers and tears could get you sober.
Yeah.
Be
sober a long time. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it stop doing heroin.
Yeah. 100%.
And horses love heroin.
Yeah.
Isn't fentanyl like...
These guys used to love horse.
Yeah.
Zachy.
That's my favorite. The most confusing tattoo I've ever seen. I was at the courthouse to pay a... open container ticket, and the guy in front of me in line, big black dude, basketball jersey, and he had a full tattoo. His entire arm was a tiger that said horse, and I'll never figure it out.
What the fuck?
I'll this never figure it out. This it was tiger. A giant tiger that said horse.
Was it like orange and white?
Yes, it was a full tiger, and then it said horse.
Wow.
horse tiger.
I thought you were going to see he had a circle in his vein that said insert here.
Yeah.
Insert needle here.
I'm glad I never got any of my stupid sobriety tattoos. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. Like
I was
going to
get like
prayer.
Never again. Like, on the inside. Yeah. Oh, God. Thank
or
God.
Don't serve me.
Shout out Karen.
Yeah. Yeah. Karen. Karen's the best.
I love Karen.
I mean, in
the other arm should say, don't book me.
Yo.
There we go.
Why do you think it started happening in 2016, 2017, the bail reform, basically the catch and release, where guys are being locked up with, you know, 47 prior convictions out in the street, and they're just committing more and more violent crimes, but they're just getting flipped over.
It was like, Khalif Browder. Khalif Browder was the reason why that happened, because they kept him, I think, 2 or 3 years for a stolen book bag, and then he had already had he was on probation for like
some stupid, I don't remember what it was, but he was on probation. That's the reason they kept him in there. Was
and
his, the probation.
He had
hold.
A hold. He had a hold. They call, so if you're on probation or parole, or you have another open court case when you get incarcerated, even if you're done with that particular court case, they hold you for until you complete the other one. So I think he did 2-3 years, and he was abused repeatedly and regularly while he was in there, and then he killed himself.
Yeah,
not sexually, but just. Yeah. You know, he was just like beat up. It was just like
it's terrible.
Beat up a lot. Yeah, because like terrible. I said, he was with the young.
The
kid.
Sex stuff doesn't happen on the East Coast. That's a Midwest and West Coast thing.
Mm.
I just want to make that clear.
What are the chances guys on the West Coast? Like, that's an East Coast thing.
That's an East Coast thing. That's it.
That doesn't happen.
That's an East Coast Midwest thing. And the Midwest is like, it's our thing. That's us.
Guilty.
Hey.
So you think because of Khalif Browder, but here's my thing.
In New York, yeah.
Right, but this is happening in every city. Like Philadelphia,
Philly. Detroit, it looks like there's LA. Fucking murders every night,
bro. Chicago it is fucking worse. Fallujah.
Yeah,
it's and I'm telling my friends, I'm like, guys, this is like insanity, and they're like, oh, Philly's one of the richest, blah blah. Philly's fine. You exaggerate, and it's like people don't realize.
Well, go stay in the bad part,
dude. I have friends that go back to Philly. They don't leave their house, and they sit on the floor of their house because of stray bullets that could kill them if they sit on the couch. That is so psychologically taxing.
Absolutely.
And then my friends that have never been around any of this shit are like, well, it's in like, you know, just like a small blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, it's getting worse and worse. And a huge part of it is because there's truly no consequence.
Yeah.
And like people want to release prisoners because that is a very real thing that you mentioned of like Rikers is a complete jungle war zone of psychological damaging, emotionally taxing behavior. But it's like, where's the middle ground? Like, how do you solve this?
Right. They did it wrong. They totally fucked the bill up. 100%.
Well, I feel like they things were bad, so they swung the pendulum to the completely the other side. Yeah. Just like I feel like we fucked up with civil rights. We fucked up with, you know, gay marriage. And then now with the trans issue, it's like no quarter. Everything goes because we fucked so many things up in the
before,
past.
Yeah.
And like with the bail reform, it's a thing of like, We fucked this up. Too many people were incarcerated for too long because of, you know, marijuana and blah, blah. Right. And then now it's like, hey, you slash someone? No.
Yeah.
Get on out.
Use your knife back.
Yeah.
I mean, even someone who's been aggressive as many times as me and incarcerated, like I am against bail reform.
Totally.
Because I never got anywhere in my life until I was able to hold myself accountable.
Right.
So, I mean, can they make something happen without like sending people to jail? Yeah, if they had like more reform programs, more reform institutions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to cost a shit ton more money than fucking just letting people out. And the thing is, at the end of the day, with all these people having these repeat offenders and the repeat arrests and the repeat charges, is these people are still going to go to prison.
Yeah.
They're still going to go. Like if I was around during this time doing what I did, I'd either be dead or I'd pick up a long, long sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get caught with heroin 5 times while you're waiting to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they snowball that, when they put that together, you're gonna do some time.
Yeah, that happened to me twice. I was out on bail for a charge. I caught another one, and then the time I was looking at got taken away. They offered more time, and then I got time for the other one. Mm-hmm. So that's like, I've always fucked myself over when I was out on bail. Yeah.
Well, also in a way, like a lot of this behavior is incentivized by, you know, young kids,
liberals,
and teens, and
no.
Oh, well, yeah, don't get me started. But no, just like kids pushing each other to be like crazier and crazier, yeah. And like, dude, that shooting in Philadelphia that happened on South Street—that
video was wild,
dude, wild. And teens for 4 hours were just running around, throwing trash cans over, screaming at people, just like it.
Just like when you guys win a championship.
Yeah, yeah. They were championshipping
around. The Stanley Cup again?
And, and they were like yelling it at strangers to like make their friends laugh, which yeah. I like totally get. But the police weren't intervening because once the cops intervene and a cell phone goes up, you're done.
Yeah.
That there's no context. That video gets out. Your job is lost. Right. This and that. And it's cops are just like, look, man, our hands are kind of tied.
I need my retirement. Yeah.
And a guy pulls a fucking gun out. Dude, that video was nuts because a guy pulled a gun. His friend, this guy and his friend were coming in on a guy. The guy without the gun started hitting the other guy. And then once that guy fought back, the guy with the gun shot him.
Damn.
And then bullets just started flying.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's so fucking sad. But like, how do you stop it? What's the answer? We've recognized the problem. What is the solution?
I mean, with the guns, they could outlaw guns in the whole country. There's people are still gonna get guns.
Dude, that's the thing. You're taking guns away from legit people, like gun owner citizens that need a weapon to protect themselves when so many illegal guns are on the street that are killing innocent people. Like everybody like I sorry to go on a rant, but you know, with the Uvalde shooting, and you know, it's when these mass school murders happen that everyone like flips out, and it infuriates me. And I read the paper, and I start to get fucking tears in my eyes because I see the kids I used to teach, I see innocent 11-year-olds getting caught in the crossfire, and nobody gives a shit. Yeah. It's not national news, and it's like I don't know if it's not national news because people at the end of the day don't care about black lives, or it's not national news because it doesn't fit the narrative of who these mass shooters are.
Well, it's got to fit the narrative.
Or people are so afraid of being deemed racist when you start to talk about peer-on-peer violence and innocent lives being lost. People are just going to go, black-on-black crime. It's like, no. Black-on-black crime, fuck that. It's peer-on-peer violence. Kids killing kids. And I see the kids I used to teach. I see these young kids dying. And it fucking breaks my heart. And it seems like it's just local news when it is an absolute epidemic facing every single city in the country.
Yeah.
But nobody gives a fuck. And I don't know what the solution is.
And I have that fear. I'm like, what if somebody snaps and just goes to start shooting up a school or anything? Yeah. Anyway, I don't like big groups. I don't like
I hate it too. I'm not a fan of big groups. You're at that party last night. I was like on high alert the whole time.
Yeah. That's the thing. It happens at these parties. Yeah. And it happens when the people spill out. Yeah. Then an argument happens.
Alcohol's involved. Yes. Drugs are involved.
Yes.
Yeah. They're with their girlfriends. Yes. Like, bumps them the wrong way. Ego steps in.
And now it's like not even over real shit. It's about like Instagram cloud and fucking like, you posted this and did it. It's like, what the fuck are we doing? What the fuck? There's like this new TikTok challenge going out where kids ride on top of the subway trains.
I saw that.
Like Teen Wolf?
Hey, we're taking...
I was in the train last night like running late and these fucking kids go in all messed up like the fucking Foot Clan and they hop on the thing and I'm like, is it my responsibility as like an adult?
What do you mean
like,
on top?
We're on the top of the train. That's how we used to roll back in the day.
They go in between the trains, hop up, and just ride on.
I've seen one where somebody was catching it from far away and they're like only in Brooklyn and it was like 13 kids on top and they're jumping.
They do it on the JM over Williamsburg.
Yep, over the Williamsburg Bridge.
That
they call it running a train.
Scared the shit out of me.
That's how we used to get down back in the day. 80s, 90s.
My old teacher in grade school grew up in the Bronx. He said him and the gangs used to do that. But also, back in the day, correct me if I'm wrong, the gang situation was more like stabby or like we keep it within the gang.
Yeah, slashy, stabby.
There was no like random acts of assault on people. There would be pickpockets.
Well, that's the random acts of assault started happening when the Bloods became big.
When they came to New York.
When they came to New York.
West Coast. Yeah.
And basically what happened is the Bloods absolved the Latin Kings for the most part. If I'm not mistaken, there became some kind of alliance. But that's when people started getting slashed on the subway. So that's how that would be the initiation. I guess to draw blood from somebody.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Well, that's back.
Yeah, that was like, I was like in sixth grade when you were hearing that. Because like, there was that Halloween. They're like, oh, don't send your kids out. The Bloods are out there cutting anybody wearing red. And then I remember that night, like that time, you barely saw people out.
Yeah.
So there's like, there's these breaks, especially in New York City. Like when my mother was telling me like how crazy it used to be in the Bronx when she was younger. They called it like Vietnam. Like fucking cops throwing kids off roofs and all that shit. And
it was just like rubble and fire.
Yeah. My father had to leave his business in the Bronx. Yep. He had a bodega right by the Bronx Zoo. Mm-hmm. And there was these fucking two drug dealers. And they would fucking go in there, harass all the time. And then the two drug dealers, one killed his partner. Like the two of them killed him in front of the store, right? And then a couple days later, told my father, like, yo, you're next. Because it was my father and two of my uncles. One of my uncles got pistol whipped by one of the guys.
Jesus.
And then they told my father, like, yo, if...
They were Puerto Rican, right? The dealers?
Yeah, they were Puerto Rican. And they were like,
this is Puerto Rican on Dominican violence. Yeah.
No, one of the guys was Dominican, though. One was Puerto Rican. And my mom said they were the worst back then. They were like, the Puerto Ricans and Dominicans like just ruined shit when they came out here because it was always like drug dealing, the killings.
Loud music.
Yeah. That was
sexual
the worst
harassment,
part.
Harassment, noise complaints.
Especially at parades.
Yeah.
Yeah, you weren't safe at parades. But they basically threatened my father. My father just left the business. He just left it. I think he went and got some stuff back and never went back.
And you know what's funny? It's like all that shit was happening and then every citizen, black, Puerto Rican, white, was like, stop this. Do whatever you can to fucking stop this. Mm-hmm. So the police did it, but they went, again, extreme of like, okay.
Now we're locking everybody.
It made everything go away for whatever you feel about people's rights, fucking stop and frisk helped.
I mean,
and then now that's gone away, the city's a fucking nightmare again. Yeah. And there's got to be some sort of happy fucking medium instead of these super fucking extremes.
Yeah. You look at Midtown. Midtown back in the day was probably one of the worst places in the city. It was fucking dangerous. Yeah. Giuliani came in, he cleaned that shit the fuck up, and then now you could look like right there in front of Central Park, Columbus Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Like that can be your gauge for what the city like, and it's fucked up again.
Yeah,
yeah. So
totally.
Yeah,
everything's wild. I got a knife pulled out by Tiny Cupboard.
Yeah,
of all places, and you know where it's at in Brooklyn, and it's just like people. Oh, this is nice, safe, gentrified. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah,
right in the bodega, guy pulled out a knife on me.
Yeah,
for no reason. He just went in there yelling randomly. I'm like, oh, you got a problem? What's up? And then next thing you know, he pulls out a knife. Oh, that's what's up. All right, you got it.
Yeah. I'm glad I wasn't with you.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
I would have just grabbed a 40 bottle from the fridge.
But all that went through my mind, but I said, the PTSD kicked in, and I'm like, all right, this is going to end up where I'm hurt or I'm in jail.
Well, yeah. I feel like a lot of guys that spend a lot of time in jail, obviously you have to assimilate to jail culture and basically turn into a fucking emotionless animal to survive.
Gotta be
and
savage.
Then they get out and they raise their kids with the same mentality. And that is the problem.
I agree with Ian. Sterilization.
Yes.
I mean,
abortion. Nip it in the bud.
Abortion.
Prisoners were the first. All the prisoners, all the jails only used Johnson & Johnson.
So what's that?
I know that was like the vaccine. All the jails only used Johnson & Johnson.
So what's that mean?
I don't know. But that's interesting.
You think everyone's going to become sterile?
I think everybody who got the Johnson. Well, there's sterilization.
There's saltpeter in the juice in the joint too. I think that does something to your gut.
Oh yeah, didn't they do that in the military or some shit?
So they say.
What? Yeah. What is the solution to all this?
I don't think there's a solution.
I don't think
we're just violent creatures.
So we're fucked.
Yeah, we're fucked. Yeah. It's been like this
forever. And still,
if it
after
wasn't
all
guns,
this,
it was swords.
Best country to live in. We're number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not safest though.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, I'm worried about my safety.
My safety comes first.
In this country, me and Derek, this is a hard side. That's a soft side.
Yo, I'll be soft and living.
In this country, bro, we can talk about, look, everything we can talk, we could be like, the president's a cocksucker. If you say that in some other country, they'll kill you in front of your family.
They'll make
say
you suck his cock.
Yeah.
You'll have to suck off the president if you say that.
Well, I guess I'm fucking going overseas.
Fuck Shansu.
Let's wrap up. This is great.
do plugs real quick.
Oh my God, we forgot about plugs. I'm sorry. I've been so into this conversation. This is awesome. You guys got to come back.
Oh, we'd anytime, love to come back.
Yeah, yeah. This is fucking great, man. All right, Gio, what you got?
Follow me on Instagram, Gio Perez 86 GEO. We have a show at the Stand once a month, 23 and 1. Listen to our podcast on the gate on all platforms. It's us two just telling jail stories and fucking around with comics.
Yes,
love it. Derek, what you got?
Follow me at Derek Drescher and follow On the Gate Podcast, and then follow 23 and 1 Comedy, 23AND1 right. Comedy. Next show is June 21st at the Stand, and we got another one July 19th. Come to both of those.
Love it. Zachy?
Instagram, Zach is not funny. If you're listening live, I'll be at the E-Mouse Theater in Pennsylvania. Oh, no, excuse me. I'll be at Soul Joel's this weekend on Friday, the E-Mouse Theater in Pennsylvania, and then the Coho's Music Hall next weekend, all featuring for Luis J. Gomez.
Love that. Hi, everybody. This weekend, June 17th and 18th, I am in Toronto, Canada at the Royal Comedy Theater. Going to be a blast. Come on out. Next weekend, June 25th, two shows, Columbus, Ohio, Natalie's Grandview. And then I'm going to be at Bricktown Comedy with the great David Tell, July 7th through the 9th. And then headlining Hilarities, Cleveland, Ohio, July 21st, 22nd. I got American Comedy Company coming up, Creek in the Cave, Laugh Boston, a bunch of fun stuff. iAnimal69, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. And I just put out a new non-music video with Tom Cassidy. It's on my YouTube page, youtube.com/IanFidance.
I was so happy for you when I saw Patton put that out.
Oh, my God. That was so cool. Patton Oswalt. I pushed the video we did and it said that I was funny and he's one of my favorite comics of all time, and I cried in my room and hugging my girlfriend.
You guys are the soft side now. That's the soft side now.
Is that soft?
Come over here, Ian.
It's tough
to us
to be in touch with your emotions. It's tough to fucking put it all out there, bitch.
There we go. We're back.
Yeah. I love you, buddy.
Love you too, pal. Also, before we go, shout out Vince McMahon, mid-70s, still passing pussy out to the homies.
Hell yeah.
The fucking absolute Chad of all time, Vince McMahon.
It ain't fun. Your homies can't have none.
This is Zach on behalf of our wonderful guests, Gio and Derek, and my co-host, Einon Fidance. This is me saying, bye, guys.